Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 2 Description of Krishna's Vyuha Page 27. Within the womb of Devaki is my form famous as Sesha, since he exists eternally. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:2-8. Udriti Srila Prabhupada. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Sesha. The Sesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I am going into the womb of Rohini, of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Sesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six asuras, the Shatgarbhas. This means that the Shatgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest on me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am else everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and he is not everywhere. Everything rests upon him, yet does not rest upon him. This can be explained only through the Achintavada Veda philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality God of the Supreme Personality as he is, only by devotional service. End quote. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statements of the scriptures. Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:2-8, purport. In this case, Sesha means one who remains. This means an eternal amsha, or the phrase can mean my form famous as Sesha. Because it can also mean after all the different expansions of the Lord are there, the one that remains then is Sesha. He's the last of Shankarshana means you have so many forms, Sesha will be the last. So that's one of the meanings. Or it's like it says, my form famous is Sesha. Like that. Vasudeva equates Balaram with Krishna. Yuvam nana sutau sakshad radana purusheshvarau. You are not our sons, but the very lords of both the material nature and its creator, Mahavishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means putting Balaram before Mahavishnu, right? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:85-18. So he's putting the two together. There the source. The word sakshat in the verse above has greater significance in the argument. One may consider Balarama an Avesha form because of such statements as Mayam Tume Bhartur Nanya Mepi Vimohini. It can only be the Maya of my brother and nothing else which bewilders me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.37. But by the strength of the previous statements in the book, Baladev is the Lord himself, not an Avesha form, Jiva. One could also consider that because Balaram is considered non-different from a special Jiva endowed with his powers, who is known as Sesha, the phrase Amshena, his expansion, is used. Though the two are one, Balaram also shows devotion to Krishna. That is the meaning of his statement. Prayo maya tu me bhartur nanyame pi vimohini. Besides my brother, no one can bewilder me. The example of Lakshmi's devotion, though considered one with Vishnu, should also be seen. Brahma spoke thus the verse for the devas. But so without the achinta veda veda tattva, means these kind of levels generally will not be discussed by others, because without the achinta veda veda philosophy, you can't put this together and appreciate it. They will get down to very, very fine points, you know, in establishing the Vaishnavism over the impersonal philosophy and other such distractions. But in this kind of field, they don't get into. That's the things they go up to. You have Vishnu, and you have Mahanarayan, who is the source, you know, so maybe Vishnu and that Mahanarayan, he expands as the second Chaturvyuha, you know, in their mind, just as the Chaturvyuha, and then you have all the other expansions. And that works very easy for them. Because without achinta veda tattva, you can't go beyond that. That's the whole thing. Where you have this, that simultaneously one and they are different. Yes.
But it's also very, pretty straightforward how the Vaishnav schools explain. It's understandable, actually, but when you're trying to reach beyond with achinta veda veda tattva, you have to deal with all the contradictions. Like, like now we hear that Balaram and Krishna, they're both Swayam, but one is in one mood as a lord, and one is in the mood of a servant, but both are there. So it's much more complex in a sense.
Yes, but you also see is that the aspect of, then you can see where everything comes from, why the Shakti and the Jivas are in the mood of service. Because Krishna has that mood. So if Balaram has that mood of service, that means all his expansions, you know, which will be Mahanarayan and all the Vishnu avatars and all that, they'll all be in that mood of service. So in other words, everybody in the cosmos is serving Braja Krishna. That's the thing. And the Shakti, you know, is there. So that's why then you'll see the aspect of Guru then goes back to Balaram and Srimati Radharani. So from the Shakti side, it all goes back to her. And from the Vishnu Tattva and the control, it goes back to him. At the same time, it sees the one who comes and gives direction and everything. So like you said, it's very straightforward, but at the same time, you have these simultaneous elements. So the others, they stick with what can be explained nicely without having to deal with that. Because you have to be able to establish it, that it's straightforward, it's easy to catch. And so they'll go, but then Lord Chaitanya, he can give this. So that's also an aspect of what's never been given before. Because what's been given before is up to Goloka, but not up to Braja Vrindavan. Yes.
Also, then, without this description, the next one which follows about description of Vrindavan and the associates of the Lord, everything also doesn't make much sense. Like now, it's always a question to devotees that if we practice, you know, bhakti in our sampradaya, whether they could go to the other abodes or not, or what will happen.
These others, if they can.
Yes.
These other sampradayas, if they do what we can
yes,
they go
yes.
to their place.
Okay. And then if they have the mood in Vaikuntha, what will happen to them, like that. But because, as described here, is the original form, it all other forms are servants. Similarly, all other abodes are in actually connection with Vraja because it's the central abode. And then, so basically, there is a connection like what we see from Vrindavan to Mathura. And there are only few people who actually can connect to both, and they form as a trans, whatever you call it, as a bridge to move to that. Like it said, Uddhava used to write letters to Krishna since it was from his childhood.
Oh, okay.
He is one of the persons, that's a very special, is always can connect to Vrindavan and back. So similarly, in Vaikuntha, only those who have that mood, they will be the foremost people who could connect to the Krishna in his original form and see that.
Yeah, you also have Rohini.
Yeah.
She's always, Durga, always telling the pastimes in Vrindavan.
So basically, if they understand the whole philosophy from the mood, in the mood which Lord Chaitanya gave, they would naturally be the foremost devotees wherever they are.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes. Oh, I see, from that point. Okay, very nice. Yeah. You also have the aspect that all the avatars, all the expansions are all in Krishna.
Yes.
So if they're worshipping Krishna, but their ultimate goal is some other realm, still that's being done there, and it'll be so much easier. You know, because of that natural, spontaneous kind of aspect. But then, like you say, then doing that, they'll still be very, very prominent devotees.
Because they can relate to always like a doubt that if I have a majestic mood, then there is a sweetness, then how will it like?
But the thing is, what they have to catch is, do they have a majestic mood?
If...
You know, in other words, when you come out of the kind of more grungy pack thing and you hit that what do you call that sea bridge, you know, in Bombay, and you go over, you know, is it then you appreciate the majesty? You know, is that you know what I'm saying, is that the majesty we're discussing? No.
We didn't see any majesty in Mumbai. I mean, it was a few years ago, but
Did you see the sea bridge?
I do.
The sea bridge.
It means instead of going through the islands, they built these things that go off and go over the ocean. It's huge, huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, you know.
It's a recent thing or something?
Fairly recent, not so recent, but fairly recent. I think the last, I don't know how many years. But they're doing more of them, so it's like, because there's no space on the land, so it's just going out into the ocean.
It's like Bangkok, you know, it's all bridges above the ground.
Yeah.
Here mainly maybe so that you don't see anything on the gutter down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. Like in Calcutta, if you go on that one, you know, in the bypass,
you go
that flyover, and that up there, Calcutta looks pretty good.
Yeah.
yeah. Don't look down. Yeah, I once was talking with Baba Nanmaraj about Calcutta. And I was saying, now you can't see it as much, but you could back in the 80s and 70s. That I was saying, I would when I go down the street in Calcutta, they're talking about how kind of, you know, unattractive this is. No, but I look up and you see all the old architecture, you know, this old 100-year-old, 150-year-old buildings and how they're made and everything. And it says, you know, then you can appreciate the, you know, it's, you know, the kind of lost or deteriorating, but the aesthetic value and all that. And then he made the point, he says, yeah, you could do that, but I tend to look at the ground because in Calcutta there's so much garbage, you might step in something if you're looking up and, oh, wow. Yeah, so he was being a bit more practical. And it's true. Okay, Anucheta 87. The statement that Prajumna, burned by Shiva's glass, became material Cupid is a limited proposal. It is said, there the powerful Lord Krishna resides, situated with excellent pastimes, accompanied by Balarama, Aniruddha, and Prajumna, and by his side, by his Shakti, Rukmini. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.36. It is impossible for him to be born materially, since it is well known that he is eternally situated within the Chaturvyuha with Krishna, whereas Cupid is not included in the Chaturvyuha, since he is a particular devata. Therefore it is said, Kamas tu vasudevam so dagdha prag rudra manyuna deho payataye bhuyas tam eva pratyapadyata. The real Kamadeva is an expansion of Vasudeva. Cupid had previously been burned to ashes by Rudra's anger. Now to obtain a body again, he merged into the body of Prajumna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.55.1. Quote, though a Brahman ignorant of the Vedas may exist, a real Brahman, too, knows the Vedas. End quote. The word too indicates the real person. The real Kamadeva is an expansion of Vasudeva, or the word too indicates a new topic, stating Vasudeva's amsa is Kamadeva, has the same meaning. He who previously was burnt by Shiva's anger, the material devata, Cupid, in order to take a body, entered Pratyapadyata, Prajumna, the amsa of Vasudeva, known as Cupid. Since it was impossible to otherwise attain a body by himself because of Shiva's eternal curse to be without a body, Bhuya indicates that previously he had arisen from Prajumna. Or the verse can mean Vasudeva's amsa, who previously was not burned, Agadha, by Shiva's anger, again entered Vasudeva in order to reveal his form, in order to take a body for again manifesting pastimes in the world. End quote. He was not burned since he was Vasudeva's amsa. So that point of Kamadeva, then Kamadeva is going to be the attractive feature, right? But the attractive feature here is being applied to the material world. Right? The living entity has the nature as a person to be attracted to something because thinking, feeling, and willing. Right? So there's going to be an attraction. So that attraction can't function without Krishna's potency. So then he is that Kamadeva. Right? So like the material world, the atoms can't stick together unless he is there attracting them. Right? And so then here, all the relationships, everything that go on, is based on attraction. And so then there has to be that feature there. So Prajumna is that feature, right? So he is Kamadeva. Does that make sense? But the original natural position of that attraction is to Krishna in the spiritual world. Does this make sense?
Yeah. I'm just thinking that in terms of Sri Didis, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath.
Yes.
You mentioned that the attraction feature is manifested in Madan Mohan.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see also that the ultimate attraction is within Gopinath.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Means you're going to have that, but the focus is on the affection. It's not that attraction is not there, but the point is the affection is greater than even attraction. So if there's attraction, that's one position. If because of that attraction there is an endeavor, that's going to be greater. But then if there's an attraction and an endeavor and a resultant experience, that's even more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a natural kind of like hierarchy there. So they all have that aspect there. It means in other words, there's a taste in attraction, there's a taste in action, there's a taste in it. In attraction there's going to be some action. You know, it's not that they're just sitting there. It means that Krishna is going by, they're looking, they're moving their head, their eyes are engaged, they're So there's always all three, but it's where the prominence is. That's what you call it by. You know, it's just like on this rug here. That middle part, that kind of around the middle, you'll call that part red. Then you call the corners white and the middle white, and then the outside edge and that, you know, how you say, and kind of around the middle black. But if you look, it's not red, because it has all the white and black within it. But it's predominantly red, so you call it red. So this will be called a red carpet. Right? You won't call it a white carpet or a black carpet.
Right.
Or you won't call it a multicolored carpet. You'd call it a red carpet, because it's prominent. Right? But at the same time, all the other colors, all the other designs are inside. So there's always, otherwise, how is there a connection? Because we're used to the corporate model, you know, or scientific, that there's this, then there's the next thing. Because they can't explain what connects them. They have no idea. All they know is that's what they have their goal, and if you do these things, you get your goal. Why it's working, they can't explain it all. They only explain as much as is necessary to make it work to get what they want. But why it works, they don't care. You know, it's just like the businessman. He buys something for cheaper and sells it for more, and he gets profit. He doesn't care why that's working and where that's come and how that's part of Krishna's energies and all. As long as he gets his profit, he's happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and some will do some more analysis, but they're only doing that analysis to make that profit. They're not doing that analysis otherwise. Or, if it is, it's an intellectual who's doing an analysis because he appreciates the taste of analyzing.
Right.
But he can't use it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have these guys who analyze and come up with these theories. And they're just, you know, ordinary, I mean, as far as their lifestyle, just ordinary, simple, you know, nothing. Someone else who then can see it in the context of money or administration takes that and makes huge benefits from it, because they have attraction for different things. His thing is just that I know these things and can analyze. That's his taste. I can use that and get influence. That's their taste. Or I can use this and get money. That's their taste. You know, or nowadays you get fame or something, you know, like this. So that attraction is there everywhere and everything. So that feature is Prajumna. The knowledge that's in everything, that'll be Sankarsana. Right? The desire, the goal that you want to experience, that's going to be Aniruddha. Right? And then that combined action, because Vasudeva means the three are combined, so that's how you see is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those three features are there. But in the pastimes, they're all combined.
Yeah.
So.
If we take it more specific into Gayatri mantras and mm-hmm. Gopal and Kama Gayatri. Mm-hmm. So Gopal being preliminary to the Kama. So as far as I understand, the Gopal, the three features are there: Madan Mohan, mm-hmm. the Jinn, and the Gopinath. So
right.
it's like I've mentioned before, it's pretty straightforward.
Right, right.
But then, Kama Gayatri that's the top meditation. So is it within Gopinath we're looking into the three features? Because those terms are, you know, Kama, Deva, Pushpavana, and Ananga are there. Mm-hmm. So is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have the you know, you're more general like that, but you also have it in the Brahma Gayatri.
Yeah,
it also has the three. So Gayatri has those three parts because there's one thing with Sambandha, one Abhideya, Prayojana. So Guru Gayatri, Gaur Gayatri.
Yeah,
you'll always see those three.
Yeah, it's just in those two. It's extended. It's one and then extended into. You know, because in Brahma Samhita it is mentioned that the Gopal Gayatri is a bija for Kama Gayatri.
When you say Kam Bija, you can mean just the syllable.
Yeah.
Or Gopal mantra is also called Kam Bija.
Right. Yeah.
So it means that you're having the technical bija, yes, that's one syllable. But Kam Bija, that's the bija for the Kama Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
Also there the description is, it just says, as you said, that the bija is there, but I mean, the interpretation by devotees is that then from the Gopal Gayatri, Kama Bija is coming and then they draw Kama Bija beyond, after the Gopal Gayatri, but it's just describing there that the Gopal Bija, Gopal Mantra is the form of the Lord Radha and Krishna in the center hole, and that is represented
in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. The central hole is represented by the mantra.
Yeah, the syllables.
That's what is described. And say that from that the Kama Bija emanates and goes around. Because that's the confusion. Some devotees draw a Gopal Yantra, then they put first Gopal Bija inside and Hare Krishna mantra outside.
No, but that's supposed to be Kama. The Gopal mantra is outside. You know, because the point is it's Hare Krishna is the original mantra.
Yeah.
If you're doing like that, this is just to show how it is, because in that means you're going to have the central thing is Radha and Krishna, but at the same time it has all those features, and then the two triangles, you know, I say in the Mogan David, then you're going to have at each of those points they're one of the syllables of the
Gopal
Gayatri.
So that's what it describes, the central wall or the pericarp. It is in the shape of the two triangles, and within that the center is the diamond shape shining, that is actually the sthana of Radha Krishna.
Yeah.
There should be the mantra of Hare Krishna mantra.
Inside that.
Yeah, I mean that would be where it is, because it's coming from them, but for the pujas, you're just
I never saw that, fortunately.
Yeah. So it's just that I'll try to do.
I just saw the original when it's there, and that's it.
Yeah. So that'll expand from there. So it's there because the Gopal mantra, Hare Krishna is the first mantra. That's explained by Lord Chaitanya, I think, when he's discussing with Prakashananda Saraswati. Then the second, that means his first expansion is the Kama Gayatri. You know, so Kama Gayatri means you have the Kama Bija, but then the full manifestation of Kama Bija will be Gopal mantra. You know, it's just like in you have Om, you know, then you have Bhur Bhuva Swah, then you have the rest of the Gayatri.
Right.
So then that's mechanically put there, so you appreciate that. But here you just have the Kama Bija is one syllable before the Gopal mantra. I mean, before the Kama Gayatri. But it's understood as that means what is explained in the Gopal mantra.
Yeah.
Right? So basically you have the Kama Bija, then you have that Gopal mantra. Then that Gopal mantra is the Kama Bija of the, you know, of the, Kama Gayatri.
Yeah.
Like that. So you could understand as these three features. That's why then it has that nature.
Yeah, because in Gopal Tapani Upanishad it is also explained that the potency of creation, it's always in Gopal Gayatri. So Brahma took syllables and created different.
Yes.
I mean, not created, it was there, he just manifested.
It's like the engineer, he manifests what's on the
screen. He just manifested through that potency of sound, and then, you know, came the Mahabhutas, and then, you know, like that.
Yes. And then you see is that, so it comes down, when it comes to here, then you have the last of all the expansions, the mantras, will be the Brahma Gayatri, on the spiritual side.
Yeah.
Right? Then, Om will go through first. Right? Because you'll have Om, Brahma Gayatri, Om, right? So like this. So Om goes through first. Then, because then you're getting the reflection. Then Bhur Bhuva Swah. Then the rest of the Gayatri. Then Purusha Shukta. Then the Veda.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That's how it'll expand on that side. You know, and then you see that, you know, then the Puranas and everything else will go that way. So you see, last is Srimad Bhagavatam to expand. So then, according to the reflection, that's the highest on that.
That's
side.
The first.
That's the first. Because it just means Krishna's pastimes. And then all the other things, those are all there. So that's why you see even there, then as we saw before, when it was showing how all the avatars, everything's in Krishna, and all the leelas are all within Krishna lila, that that you have that those what do you call it? Those times when then Krishna takes the form of Vishnu and Sri Rama becomes Garuda, and then you know you have all those different pastimes that are going on. Balaram becomes Sesha, and all these different things that they do just for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like kids. You know, somebody becomes the king, someone's the minister, someone sits on the throne. They get a few leaves, put them in the air. They got a crown. You know, they do the whole thing. So for them, that's just their fun. You know, it's pretty cool. You know, Krishna. Sri Dhamma takes the form of Garuda, Krishna sits on his back then and then goes flying around, you know, a bit, you know, the other cowboys are going, wow, okay, that's cool. You know, it's just for them it's just something fun. They don't go into awe and reverence and then lose the mood. It's just like, you know, hey, our friend's so cool, he can do, you know, really nice things. You know. Yeah. Yeah. So that means that Kamadev can't be burned. So the potency of Kamadev is there in Cupid. So Cupid may be burned, but that aspect of attraction doesn't go away. Because otherwise, then Shiva burnt Cupid to ashes. Then it should be after that, everybody is self-realized and no one's attracted by anything material. But it's still going on. Just the point is now, in that form of Cupid, he can't harass Shiva. So that's also why you don't see him, right? You never hear of him showing up in the assemblies, right? It means after this, you don't hear when they have all the demigods and that. You don't hear of Cupid being present physically,
yeah,
like that, because he said eternally without a body. But it doesn't mean that he's not there and that potency is not there and is still active, but just. Cupid, the demigod, would be a little careful to not go around to Lord Shiva. You know, so Shiva's good. And so then he can manifest, because being an Amsa of Prajumna, therefore then he will be naturally there within Prajumna, so that if he takes shelter there, it'll just naturally work. Because he's the source of the Cupid, that's a practical application. So calling it Prajumna, Cupid does not go against the definition.
Yeah. Because Krishna is also, you know, in that famous verse at the end of the dance candle Bhagavatam, he called Kamadeva.
Mm, yes, yes.
Like he wanders in bright in the form of Kamadeva.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so he's that. So that would be that Madan Mohan. That's the original aspect.
Yeah,
then, because that's all in Krishna, and he has those three features. Then, because in there you're applying. But then, if you become more formal, then you have to have that knowledge. Right. So basically, what's happening is you're adding the knowledge aspect. You know, the Sankarsana. So when you have Krishna and Balaram, then you have all the four aspects. And so that being formally manifest as the Chaturvyuha. Just otherwise, Krishna himself, it'll be those three, and then it'll be the knowledge. So based on the environment, is that there? Like you said, you know, Balaram goes and then makes everything ready, and then he moves to his eternal mother's womb, and then Krishna will come and appear. Because unless you have the place, you know what I'm saying? You know, so that aspect of Radha and Krishna in the clouds and an Om sign, because you notice that they have to have generally clouds there, but then sometimes they can just have the Om sign, but they'll have an Om sign, they don't just have space. So even though they're saying it's all impersonal and this and that, it's just space, they can't meditate like that. It's not natural, you know. As a person, you can't do that. You can try, but it doesn't work very good. So, you know, so that's the natural thing, how you get from Krishna to the Chaturvyuha, because Krishna expands in Balaram, and he has those three features, so therefore that feature of Balaram with those, then that makes that work there. So that's how you get there. And then you have, okay, now as the expansions and Sankarsana Prajumna Aniruddha, then that's combined, then that's performing the pastimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that'll be that formal aspect of majesty, the other will be the aspect of sweetness. So you can see where is that the origin of the Chaturvyuha. And at the same time, it's one manifestation then. So before, we were always explaining it basically more according to the Braj, but with the other kind of an overlay, that didn't always make sense. But if you use the Pancharatrika, when it's just this, and then you use that there, then it works there. Because Krishna is the Lord, the Icha Shakti. So within that will be the Madan Mohan Govinda Gopinath. Then the manifestation of the facilities for that and the actions of that, that's done by Balaram through the Kriya. Right? And then the mood there is then that's the jnana. Right? So in Vrindavan it's sweet, so it works like that. When it goes into majesty, then it naturally goes into the Chaturvyuha. So,
yeah.
Makes some sense. Yeah, so it's just the same, it's just how it comes, because there's a slightly different flavor, so Krishna is the prominent. You know, and the other Vasudeva is the prominent, but the one's the majesty, because he works with these three, because the knowledge is there. But for Krishna, it's not so much about the knowledge. Right? It means they have knowledge, they have the greatest knowledge. You know, to find them, you know, both of the absolute truth and of, you know, mechanics of how things work. The subtlety is so much more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because there you have Lakshmi and Narayan, it's one mood.
Yeah, it's more or less stable.
It's, yeah, like that. But you see it's then with Radha and Krishna. Then it has all that movement that it can do. Even in Dwarka, it's fairly stable. You only hear of with Satyabhama, then there may be some interesting elements, but it's always that kind of interesting element. And now and again, you'll see her go into that kind of subservient mood, but you know, she's describing it and just like that, but in action, then she's always looking at that aspect. So, like you said, it's more stable like this, but in Vrindavan, what will happen when, you know, no, so it's got the ultimate variety. And in other words, Krishna, he's the ultimate mensch, so therefore he can handle the unlimited variety, feminine variety. Does that make sense? While here, then not as much. You know, it's just like you see the Brahminical, it'll be more stable like that. So the masculine and feminine within the Brahminical sphere then won't have so much. It'll have its range. It'll have the same range and proportion. But the range it's moving in is smaller.
Yeah, the cycle is
smaller, but it's still in proportion to the size. It's still so for the Brahman couple, it's just as insane, right? And then Kshatriyas, because you have the passion, then it becomes much more big and grand, and you know you have to have a, you know, kingdom and all these things like that, and so. But it's still the same. So because they deal with that, then the movement within that then is in proportion. So for them, it's not. It means, in other words, it's always what you can handle. But it's what you can handle with work. It's not what you can handle, you know, in an armchair or what is it called, a lazy boy. You know, it's not one of those. You know, and then the Vaishnava then is within the economic field, so that cuts it down, though they're trying to control, they're trying to do all the different things, but it has its area there. And it will be also, you know, intense, but it'll be in a smaller sphere like that. And then the Shudra, it'll be much more of the emotional and all that and insane there, but that's what they work in, is emotions. So they're always in that moods of emotions and feelings, so then, does that make sense?
Yeah, in the Shudra, it seems like everything turns into drama, you know, it's like...
It's all drama. That's where it is, it has to be. If it's not drama, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the aspect, is the drama has to be there.
I just want to ask one more thing, Maharaj. If I understood correctly, because lately we spoke several times about the Jogpit and the original couple, and then the, you know, how it goes, the Avaranas,
yes,
how they expand. So,
right.
So would it be proper to say that the original is there in the Radha and Krishna, then it expands into the Sakis,
mm-hmm,
and then it goes around and around and around in those circles. So the potency, this is
just thinking. Around and around and around it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Where here is this round, round, round it goes. Where it stops, only Shastra knows.
I mean, it stops at Jiva because it's the smallest particle.
Yeah.
According to the Shastra.
We're the end of the line.
Yeah. So,
the number one there.
We're number one here. Mm-hmm. Last from here, then first from here.
Oh, I see. Very clever.
Yeah, we got it.
Good try.
So would it be proper to say that what we see in certain personalities, that they carry that much energy from the origin, and this is what makes them who they are in a hierarchy of the universe, and then everywhere else, because we see it even amongst people, that energy is there, but in others it isn't there. So some case.
So which energy is manifest? Which opulence is manifest in whom?
And yeah, but the question is: is it that the common element is that energies that it carried all the way through?
Yes. The energies would be the point. Because you also have the aspect of Vishnu, the source of the energies, the Vishnu tattva going down. But the point is it's the energies that's there, because that's what the Lord's interacting with.
Yeah.
So even he's expanding less as Vishnu, then that Vishnu is the Lord of Lakshmi. Right? But then he has that service towards Krishna. And Lakshmi has that service towards Krishna through Vishnu. Does that make sense? Because she wants to, you have that pastime where she wants to interact directly with Krishna, but she can't. To her, the Lord's always her husband. So that means she can only deal with Vishnu. Because that's where then that sense of marriage is.
Yeah.
You'll have that, but also in there, I'm not sure who starts in the middle of the, when you start the thing, who starts in the Pancharatrika when you give all the Avaranas, who's in the center? Mahanarayan. So that means you're going to have that position this way. It's going to go out, right? But at the same time as someone to do it down like this. But the point is you're going to have that from there, it's going to go up. The first quadruple expansion, then it'll go up to Krishna, Balaram, then Krishna. So it's going to start at Krishna and Radharani, and then the gopis and all that, and it'll come down like this, because then you have Balaram expanding, but then he has his shaktis, which are the same shaktis, but in the form that matches with him. So in other words, where the central point is the Icha Shakti, that will be Krishna's energies. Where the central features, the Kriya and Jnana, that would be then Balarams.
Yeah.
Like that. And then that will come down where then Mahanarayan, then it'll be the Jnana aspect will be the prominent. Does that make sense? And then from there, then it goes out. So because you're dealing with that knowledge and all that. So from there it goes, but above that's the Kriya and the Icha. So just that he's there in that, it doesn't explain why he's there. Why is everything connected to him? That's explained with Krishna. Because it's his desire. Therefore, the Kriya and Jnana then fulfilled that. Balaram's the Lord of that. Vasudeva Jnana. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what you're putting there is that when Jnana is the central feature, within that, of course, is going to be the thing, because he has his desires, he gets things done, and there's the knowledge aspect too, because it's always going to be a three, because Krishna has those three features of Satchidananda, therefore everything is in threes. That's why it's known as the Lord of Threes, because everything you can break into three aspects. Something has a beginning, middle, and end. So everything will have some of those features, its existence is there, what its qualities are and all that, and what it can do and what its purpose is. Right? Because there's a purpose, therefore you can use it. Because it exists, then it can be used or it can have a purpose. Like, so all those are... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and then that will be those threes, and then we, as we see, is that three then can have that aspect that Chaturvyuha has four, either Sankarsham, Prajumna, Aniruddha, the three of them being Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and Vasudeva being the pastimes, which is the combination of the practical application of that. Or where you have the in Sambandha, you have the aspect of knowledge and then the attitude and attraction and interest or desire for applying that. Then you have the goal, and then when it's applied, then it's Vasudeva.
Yeah.
You know, so Vasudeva becomes the Lord of Abhimanyu. So it's at, but they're both the same, because in the other one, it means it's the understanding, the theory of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. When it's practically applied as Abhideya, that's Vasudeva, and that's where then you get the taste.
Yeah.
So the two, they go together. But you can see as one is coming from, is the original origin of the other. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or you could even say it's that the Krishna is there and he has these features of Madan Mahan Govindij Gopinath. So you could also put him like that and he has these three features. But we take it those are within Krishna and then there's Balaram. Does that make sense? When you think about these, the Chaturvyuha expanding, then, you know, you have Sankarsham, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. When you think about it, which side is Sankarsham on?
Which side is Sankarsham on here?
Okay, so you just take it what I'm doing and just put it that way. See it that way there. Okay, yeah, because I was worried, do you see it backwards? Because I'm always doing it this way. Do you see it, you know, the other way?
I mean, the script calls it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. On this side of the valley. And that side comes all the way over to here, right? Okay. So we're good. Anucheta 88. What was said is made clear. He took birth in the womb of Vaidarbhi from the seed of Krishna and received the name Prajumna. In no respect was he inferior to his father. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.55.2. He arose from Krishna's seed and who was named Prajumna. He appeared, born from Vaidarbhi, at the time of Krishna's pastimes on earth. This person was not the other material Cupid. Right? The reason is given. He was not inferior. Anavama, he was equal to Krishna, his father, in unlimited qualities and in form, sarvata. If it were otherwise, he could not be said to be equal to Krishna. Though Arjuna is famous as being Nara in Mahabharata, in the story of five Indras, Indra becomes Arjuna. This actually means that Indra entered Arjuna. Narada explained that Cupid had entered Prajumna, and thus attaining him was not a fault on Rati's part. Since the previous verse must be explained in terms of the latter verse, right? So since Prajumna, then it means Cupid then has entered Prajumna. Therefore, Rati, you know, being connected to her husband, who's connected with Prajumna, therefore, if she's connected with Prajumna, it's not a fault. Okay. Since the previous verse must be explained in terms of the latter verse, by the strength of Narada's explanation, it's understood that the burned-up material Cupid had entered Prajumna. Rati's qualification for directly contacting Prajumna is like being touched by a touchstone. By contact with him, she develops similar qualities. However, Prajumna's own Shakti or consort is the mother of Aniruddha, Rukmavati. The Gopal Tapani statement agrees with his conclusion about Prajumna and Aniruddha. So, in other words, Aniruddha wasn't the son of Rati, he was the son of Rukmavati. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then that aspect there. Then Rati is the wife because Cupid's being there. But when you're dealing on the aspect of the equalness with Krishna, So we have to see as we're starting from here, because Krishna has been established, then you would go down from there. Right? Because otherwise, others will use it that, see, he's equal with Krishna, and so since he's Kamadev, the demigod, therefore Krishna is a demigod. They'll use it backwards. That's why you have to establish Krishna's position. Anucheta 89. That Aniruddha is also a member of the Chaturvyuha, as explained with evidence. How is Aniruddha, fulfiller of all desires of the devotees, whom the sages call the source of the Vedas, who instigates action of the mind, who is Shuddha Sattva and is the fourth member of the Chaturvyuha? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.34. He is the source of the Vedas, since the Vedas arise from the Lord's breathing. Shruti says, Evam sa are asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigvedaha. The Rig Veda arises from the breathing of the Lord. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.4.10. Vasudeva is in charge of chitta. And Aniruddha is in charge of the mind, Manomaya. He is the fourth form, Turiya, of the Lord, composed of Shuddha Sattva. Right, so they're all transcendental. So Vasudeva is chitta, because that's going to be applied. Chitta means then, with your the chitta means it includes the impressions of the mind, you know, the action, the intelligence, the qualities, the identity, all that's included in the chitta. So therefore, an action is done under Vasudeva, not the other, because they are just the functions that are there that these things get done. Thus, his fight with Bana, in which he was tied up, is a pastime according to his will, similar to the pastimes of Rama, having his wife stolen, etc. His names are listed in the thousand names given in Padma Purana. Right, so therefore it's just his pastime in which it's going on. Aniruddha is the great Brahman, the son of Prajumna, the enchanter of the universe. He is four persons, has four colors, appears in four yugas, is one person with four forms, is the cause of millions of attractive expansions, and is the shelter of all beings. Since he is Maha Aniruddha. Wow, I've never seen that word before. Because you have Maha Aniruddha. In Krishna's Vyuha, the Purusha avatar who lives in the ocean of destruction, in the story of Markandeya, is his special manifestation. The three Purushas is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.1, starting with Sankarsana, Mahavishnu, are manifestations from the original Sankarsana, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. The Purusha's non-difference from the members of Krishna's family is explained in Vishnu Dharmotra also. Vajra, son of Aniruddha, asks, I am curious to know that person whom you saw again and again at the end of every kalpa, in a baby form, and who is unknown to you. Vishnu Dharmottara 179.1. Markandeya answered, the Lord of the universe, seen by me again and again, at the end of the kalpa was unknown to me, since I was covered by illusion. When the destruction at the end of the kalpa ended, I understood from Brahma that the Lord of the universe is your father, Aniruddha. Vishnu Dharmottara 179.2-3. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the non-difference of the first Purusha from original Sankarsana, Balaram, in a lecture as follows. Nittai. I offer my full obeisances under the feet of Sri Nityananda Rama, whose partial representation, called Karano Dakshay Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the master of the illusory energy and the shelter of the universes. Prabhupada. Maya Bharta janad sangashrayanga shete sakshad karanam bodhi madhye yasyai kamsha sri puman adidevas tam shri nityananda ramam prapadye Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 1.9. Yesterday we discussed about Purnaishwarya, Sankarshanakyam, Nityananda Rama, the deity, the superintending deity of the spiritual world. Here also, anywhere, the master is Krishna in his different forms. So just like for management we expand some secretaries or personal representatives, simply, there is good management also in Krishna's affairs. The original person is Krishna, and his expansions, they are also as good as Krishna, but departmental. So I have discussed yesterday that in the spiritual world, Sankarsana is the supreme manager. And so far the material world is concerned, the same person is the supreme. But his name is different. Karanabdi Shahi. In the spiritual world, the name is Sankarsana. In the material world, the supreme superintendent is also the same person, but name is different. Karanabdi Shahi. Lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 1.9, Mayapur 2, 2nd April 1975. So it's the second, not first, so Prabhupada was not making a joke. Right? It's interesting, but departmental.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he created words, he created terms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exact, it's actually, it's very amazing.
Very amazing, yeah. Yeah, because otherwise the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would use the English words that would exactly mean that, but nowadays they would be considered archaic. Means archaic simply means no one uses them anymore. They're still just as good, but it's not...
Back when science and philosophy meant the same,
they
used to use now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now those terms are used in science, but not in philosophy.
Oh, really? Science still uses the terms.
Otherwise, scientific. Those are scientific terms.
Wow. So maybe that's why when you give a technical lecture and use these technical terms, those from a science background or a math background, they become inspired because they know what the words mean. Oh, okay. I didn't quite catch that. You explained it the other day, but it didn't quite soak in.
Like saying osmotic or using that kind of terminology.
Hmm. Interesting.
A lot of mathematical terms.
Yeah. Okay. In Mahabharata, when Bhishma speaks to Duryodhana, he describes Brahma's words when the Lord appears in his mind after he arrives at Gandamandana. O Krishna, having manifested Sankarsana, who is yourself from yourself, you manifested Prajumna, who is yourself from yourself. From Prajumna you manifested Aniruddha, who the wise know as indestructible Vishnu. Aniruddha has created me, Brahma, maintainer of the worlds. I am composed of Vasudeva since I have been created by you. Mahabharata 6:61, 65-67. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.1, it is not stated that Krishna is an avatar of Aniruddha. Vidura spoke thus to Uddhava. Right, because we're explaining that the Chaturvyuha is coming from Krishna, not the other way around. And then from that Chaturvyuha, then you get Mahanarayana, then the second quadruple, and then within that, then you'll see is that, but all the originals, they're all coming, going back from Krishna. Then they may appear through that hierarchy of expansions, you know, through the Avaranas, like that. But and within them that it may have, but still Vishnu has that transcendental position. He just takes, because he's Aniruddha is the Supreme Lord. So if Aniruddha expands as any of these avatars and all that, there's not a problem. But then Krishna comes himself personally, and you know, the original Swayam Krishna with Balaram, and then with the Chaturvyuha. So all that, so Krishna Balaram and the original Chaturvyuha, they're all considered Swayam Rupa. Is it?
No. The original Chaturvyuha is not discussed in that Swayam category, at least not the examples are given.
Okay. But doesn't it mention about Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka?
Yes, but when it comes to Pradyumna and Niruddha, then it's already, because the Svetadip is surrounding. Is surrounding the Gokula.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually don't have personal presence, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, in Gokula itself. So that's where it's little still. But from the Lalita Madhava, it's clear that when he is referred from this side, he is referred always as like Vasudeva, and from when he's referred from the that side, or from the Vrindavan side, then he's referred to as Krishna. And they refer from, like, no,
this side,
this side without connection to Vrindavan is always referred to as Vasudev.
Okay, okay, so then it brings it down. So they're looking at it. So, I mean, from this side you may see it the one way, but from their side it'll be Tadikatma.
Because that's, Krishna is the original, and then one is from the Shakti side and Radharani, and then he has to expand as Balaram for arranging the
So everything expands there. So then Krishna, there's the Lord Ichashakti, then it goes down. And Balaram then deals with everything else. And Radharani is as keeping the control of the Haladini. Then her expansions take care of everything else.
So that in itself is complete. That's why the Swayam is complete in that. And then the next expansion is to enhance the pastimes. That's why the Svetadip is surrounding the square surrounding the lotus.
Okay, so it's the square around the center. Okay, because you have the two triangles.
Yes.
The six-sided triangle. Then around that you have three circles.
Yes.
And then you have the petals. Then around that would be the square with the doors. That's how a yantra is made.
That's the mandala.
Yeah, all have that basic form. Then some have more complicated what's in it and everything and like that.
So they're always in support. Even Navadvip is described in support, but it's a internal mood of Radharani, so it has its special position.
Mm-hmm.
But the description of Navadvip also comes, it is referred to as Svetadip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anything else is in support of this original Raj pastimes. That's why it's not exclusively described that it's Svayam.
Because it has that overlaps.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. The point is, where's your attraction? But, you know, does it matter the particular chemical composition of your body and the particular fruit, and why you like this fruit or that fruit? It just matters that you are attracted to that fruit. Then you function. You don't have to get into the other things because it doesn't matter.
So the Svayam and the Vilasa forms are always categorized in generally together.
In the Swayam Rupa?
No. The Swayam Rupa and in Tharekatma, the Vilasa forms.
Oh, okay. They're seen kind of all together in one group. And then there's the balance.
Swamsha, Amshas, and all that.
Okay.
Always separated.
Okay. Okay, so you're saying is that the Vilasa means of the Tadikatma Rupa, that's the aspect of Svetadvip where it's supporting and everything like that. And Swayam will be.
And even the Vaikuntha will be in the second, the Prabhava Vilas, the Vaibhava Vilas. In the Vaibhava Vilas, the 24 forms of Vishnu are there. So the Prabhava Vilas, the description is they are second to none, they are the original. So from that, I surmise that would be referring to the Krishna's view or not. So they are second to none, and that's. That is very less description.
Yeah, because otherwise, if they're second to none, then, I mean, you either have it set because they're all the same, right, because it's all Krishna, but at the same time as Mahanarayan is their source. So it has to be someone who goes back to that no one else is their source except Krishna.
So then the Prabhava Vilasa forms actually are the first Chaturvyuha which is described here.
Okay.
Then Vaibhava Vilas then goes to the whole Vishnu forms in the spiritual above. Second Chaturvyuha, the whole within the 24 also then there are Vishnu form and Chaturvyuham also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always in the 24 is Chaturvyuham, because everything expands from that Chaturvyuham. Then you get all the 24 from that four. And then Sankarshan expands to the next, and then you get another set. Viti, having explained Krishna's Vyuha forms, the author next elaborates that all the other avatars and amshas enter into Krishna when he appears on earth. Adhikarna 3. All the avatars enter into Krishna when he appears within this world. Anuchedas 90 through 92. So there's four. Adhikarana Prakashika. The current Adhikarana addresses the doubts on the omnipotence of Krishna's form. In various scriptures we find statements that apparently state that Krishna appears through Amsa avatars. Sometimes Kiradaksha Vishnu is said to come as Krishna. Sometimes the Purusha is said to come as Krishna. And sometimes Narayana Rishi is said to come as Krishna. And in speaking of Lakshman and Balaram, Rama is said to come as Krishna. The hair of Narayana is said to come as Krishna. So one may find these statements contradictory. In answer to this, the author states the following. So one may find these statements contradictory, not that they are. Right? Accepting one meaning and refuting another meaning, all these statements are true. When Swayam Bhagavan appears, all other forms enter him. This is the meaning whenever these statements occur. How is it possible to explain the statements unless they all enter into Swayam Bhagavan? This is confirmed through the statement of Akrura when he envisions Krishna's opulence. Whatever wonderful things the sky, earth, or water contain, all exist in you. Since you encompass everything, when I am seeing you, what have I not seen? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.41.4. So all the opulence is there. It's all, means it's all, how you say, contained within Krishna. At the same time, as Krishna says, it's not in him, right? That's his mystic thing. Means those external forms and all that, is not in within him. But those potencies and the principles on which they are manifest is within him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why in the spiritual world, in Vraja they take on one quality, in Dwarka another, in Vaikuntha another, in the material world another. But the principle is the same. It's all coming from him. So he is in everything, but at the same time, as the person, he's not. And everything rests on him, but at the same time, nothing's in him. So this is As also Srila Prabhupada states the following in this connection. The different avatars, such as the Manvantara avatars, Lila avatars and Dasa avatars are all included in the Krishna avatar. That's interesting, Dasa avatars. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear with him. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26, Avatara Yashankyeya Hare Sattva Nidher Dvija Yata Vidha Shina Kulya Sarasasyu Sahasrasaha. The avatars increasingly, incessantly appear like incessantly flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in flowing water. And similarly, there is no limitation of the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars because he is the source of all avatars. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.13 purport. So that's an important aspect, is he represents all avatars because everyone's within him. That's why you can say, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, he is Kiradaksha, he is Rama, he is Naranarayan Rishi, like this. Thus, from the above statements, it is clear that when Swayam Bhagavan appears, all other forms enter him. Anucheta 90. Thus Krishna, who is also the Chaturvyuha, has been shown to be complete. This is also shown in Gopal Tapani Upanishad in explaining Pranava. Balaram, the son of Rohini, arose from the syllable Ah. Prajumna, representing the dream state, arose from the syllable U. Aniruddha, representing deep sleep, arose from the syllable M. Krishna is the nada and the complete sound Om, in whom the universe is established. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.5.54.55. That's cool.
This is a serious description.
That's cool. So we've always heard the, you know, means the aspect of A is Krishna, M is the Radharani, and U is the living. No, excuse, U is Radharani, and M is the Jivas, and then the, I think the Chandra is the Dham, and the Bindu is the pastimes, or the other way around, I'm not sure. So then, here's that you have the, that Sankarshankar Jumna Nani Ruda, they are Om, and then Krishna is the nod, you know, the complete sound Om, from which it then arises, because nod is where sound is manifest.
It also shows that Vasudeva is like encompassing all.
Encompassing all, yeah, yeah. So that's, yeah. But so I would say is this kind of aspect is centered around the. Yeah, it will be centered around that Chaturvyuha. There'll be, but you know, originally it comes back, so it'll be there. Then it'll have, because one may not see necessarily the connection between. Means when you start with the Chaturvyuha, then things become a little bit more simple to see.
Yeah.
But then when you're dealing with Krishna and his energies there, how they're dealing, then it's clear there, but how they transform. Yeah. Does that make sense? Because if you have the Radha and Krishna in the middle, and then the eight Sakis around, then that means that Lalita's in the east. So that means from her is coming Indra.
Yeah.
You know, and Vishakha is the last in the what do you call it? In the northeast. So from her is going to come Shiva. From that aspect. You know, so then like this, somebody who's going to be Agni, somebody says, what do you call it? Yamaraj, you know, like this, so it's going to come. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's going to be harder for people to deal with. And for Vrindavan pastimes, you don't need that at all. And if you're looking at it, you know, with the formal, you don't need to understand the Radha and Krishna connection.
Yeah.
You just see that, you know, from the Chaturvyuha everything works. So you don't necessarily have to make that there. That's the whole point. Balaram is the one that makes where the two come. So from him it's expanding. That's why it's ultimately Vasudeva is the one who's the origin. And why? Because of his desires all doing it mechanically. Balaram then takes the makes it happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the difficulty seems to be is that in the first explanation, how is it with Jogbib and Sakis, the masculine and feminine, people can't match it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what? How is that?
Yeah.
Demigods and then the gopis, it just doesn't match.
Yeah. But if you have the ones that are feminine across, like Sri Bhu and Neela, it will be Radharani, Lalita, and Vishakha, that then those who are more subtle can relate.
Yeah,
like that.
And then in the second, like we read, I read Gopal Tapani Upanishad just recently, but I don't remember this. You know, sometimes it's just
because that's the thing; it has to be revealed. So now that we're hearing from the Acharya, now it makes sense.
So this is pure explanation from a tattva point of view, which for us on the 12th year makes. You know, perfect sense. But before, it wouldn't
make no sense.
Yeah. So if you present it to a cold audience, they just gonna it is gonna explode. You know.
Yes. So that means if you go to the Arctic Circle and preach to the locals there, you would want to talk something warmer.
Yeah. Okay. On that same point, on. Having it both masculine and feminine, the Gyanis, those who are more to the Jnana, and basically the Vedantis and others, they tend to stick to the Tattva aspect and describe the Lord himself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shaktas always describe from Shakti point. And for them, the topmost Shakti is Lalita. when you say about Lalita Devi, then Lalita
Sahasranam
chant, the whole thing. Make it. So actually all of them, when they are referring and the the potency for their practice comes from this original description, but they just reach to
only a particular level.
A particular level, because they need the Shastra, they need the devotion to that and all. So it's all true, but
it's partial truth.
It's
not a complete truth.
It's a partial of the absolute truth. So it has that absolute aspect and is complete in itself, but still there's the origin of where all of it comes together.
And also in that way the Shastras reconcile everything so that a person can move up. His desire is there, so at least focus on that aspect, get purified, and then move up in realization.
So it's like the things will be defined in the, but like you have let's say you use honey for the Abhishek, but if you don't have honey, you could use gur that you mix with water. This will get it's sweet and it'll get a similar kind of consistency. So Shastra always has it, so what its replacements are. Because that principle is you're always going to have the expansions. Right? So the guru will have that kind of consistency and a little bit of the richness and the sweetness, but it won't have all the qualities. It'll have enough that it can be in that place. So then they'll go up to, so everything will go. So you have to be, it has to be progressive. That's why also then, it may not always be seen, is because we're using the Vaidhi and all that, we're going towards the Rag. And then the aspect that, we'll generally talk this side and we talk that side. Because it's understood, if by practicing the Vaidhi with the focus on the, attaining prema, that the switch will naturally happen, because it's just a matter, if it's not the form that's switching, it's the mood change, and that'll be only if the heart gets purified, Krishna's pleased, he reveals. So you don't have to logically show that point. You could explain, but the point is you can't do anything with it.
Interestingly, I met a Shakta. He was a big astrologer, and so with everybody else, when he was discussing, then he always describes about Karmakanda. Then the discussion came about me, my father was complaining. So then immediately he shifted and he's explaining Nishkama Karma Yoga. Because he knew that these are devotees. And then he's explaining, and he has no problem accepting Krishna as the Supreme Purusha. But in his description, Purusha is just standing next to Shakti. And he's just like a male representative that, like you go on all these big functions and then they have it.
It's about the lady.
They have a partner. He's there,
I appreciate it. He's quoting Bhagavad Gita, first only the shifting to the second and third chapter, the third chapter, it's fixed in third chapter described. So he's not offensive, he's like much more, among the Shaktas you may say that he's the best, his home very simple, he's following his Karma Karma.
Shakta, what is it? Shaktau Shirovani.
Yeah. And he's like a very potent person in his field, because of that.
Those who fit, I see also the Shris, you talk to the guys that are actually they're philosophers and theologians like that, they can make that shift. Because for them, but they're seeing it from, the side of it's a pastime of Narayana. So they don't have any problem with that. You attracted to that form, you're worshipping, that's far, because as long as it's the, Vishnu, then it's fine. So as those who can do is also, they can, we see the Acharyas also, and they're dealing with the, contemporary monotheistic, religions and all that. They don't have a problem shifting, as long as it's God. Your servant, and you're supposed to develop your love for God, and the process is through chanting. If they doubt, then why is it? Then if it's not about the holy name, it's the main thing. Then why didn't Moses go into Israel?
Yeah,
his fault was not having faith in the name. And when you open, It starts with from sound. From sound came everything. You know, here it says he's not. So maybe he doesn't get quite up to the name. The name might not be fully revealed, you know. But the point is, it's still, the point is sound, and he's not God, you know. So they'll take it up to a level. So those who are more appreciative, they can a little bit adjust. No? Okay, we already did that. It has been shown that when it says someone appears as Krishna, it means all his amshas and avatars enter him when he appears. That also proves that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. As well as establishing that, we will establish that Krishna remains eternally in Vrindavan and other places in that form. According to Harivamsa, Upendra appeared as Krishna. Brahma speaks, if you so desire, that would be a good way to do it. Maybe up here, the page 31, where you have at the top, you have an Udriti of Prabhupada in a lecture, because Nittai will be reading. So put Nittai reading instead of Nittai, because then it sounds like Nittai is saying this, and you wonder which Nittai. But this meant, you know, one of the disciples. Because they would take, different devotees would read and then Prabhupada would come. So put Nittai reading, just like you put here, Brahma speaks. Then you know he's reading Prabhupada's books. Brahma speaks, if you so desire, kindly return now to your supreme abode. At the same time, we humbly beg that you always protect us and the inhabitants of the planets, since we are your servants. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:6-27. Now, due to the Brahmana's curse, the disappearance of my family has already begun. O sinless Brahma, when my family disappears, I will pay a visit to your abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:6-31. Right, so, yeah, Brahma's saying it's time for winding up the pastimes. He's accomplished what he's come to do. He's revealed everything. And then, you know, so it'll be Krishna's arrangement that he'll be speaking, and then he'll say, okay, yes, and then the Brahma's curse is there. Brahma's recommending, so then. Because otherwise, then, you know, it just suddenly happened. Why did that happen? There's always, in pastimes, there's always that, you always have a, what is it?
Prelude.
Prelude, yes, but there's a name for that in the grammar, means who it's coming from. Ooh. Accusative. Yeah. Means it's the accusative, it's the, means the reason. Like, he went to the market, but why? Because he needed groceries. He didn't just go to the market just to go, he just suddenly decided. You know, there has to be a reason. You know, then everything unfolds very nice. Then you can connect everything together, because it's one of the nouns of the situation. So in other words, it's Krishna's desire, and then all these things, you know, unfold. So that the Brahman curses and Brahma then speaks and then these things and then it works out. Yeah? Yes.
The whole Keno Upanishad is all about that. You go in and lecture to
do. So that's the Bengali one. Is it in Sanskrit or Bengali?
Sanskrit. Keno.
I'm just saying because Bengali, Keno. Hey, to call you now, Keno. Korbana.
Okay.
Keno Upanishad. So it asks all the questions. Why this? Why, and then it answers all those. Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting.
It may not necessarily answer all those, but asking, like having the right...
Okay, what questions you should be asking. If it's not in Keno Upanishad, don't ask it. You know, that's the thing, we should have a list of those questions. When they ask some of those weirdo questions, go... Nope, sorry, it's not a Keno Upanishad.
I think it should come somewhere in this only, towards the next one.
Okay, well, that should be very interesting. Is it very big?
No, just a few verses.
Is Keno, no, but I'm saying the whole Keno Upanishad is very big.
I didn't go through it.
Okay.
The 11 principal Upanishads, it's there.
Yes. So, oh, that's interesting. So you know how to ask a question.
What questions?
What questions should be asked? Other than that, you know, it's like, remember once we had something, there was this whole scene going on. I think was about. It was a cultural thing that you had all these devotees from Bengal in another place working under another devotee, because it was from Mayapur, so they're Mayapur devotees, but they go out and preach, travel. But the head of the party was not Bengali, and his idea is if you eat rice, then you get tired, you get lazy, so you should eat chapatis. Then the Bengali devotees won't be lazy. Right? That was his idea. So then, at one point, the Jagannatha Maharaj came and, you know, asked how everything's going, and then this, you know, it was, you know, general kind of thing. Everybody's there because, you know, it's just a Sankirtan party. But it was big. It was a big, many, many buses. So there was like, maybe 20, 30 devotees and all that, and who was heading. You know, everybody was there. And so then he asked, oh, how are things going and all that? And says, you know, says, no, it's not good. You know, why not? Says, there's no rice. He says, why no rice? And the devotee explained and this and that. And then, you know, so then it had to be his whole thing about the discussion on, you know, you guys can't, you know, eat so much rice, you guys go to sleep and all this and that. You have to be active and all that. And at the same time, as, you know, he should consider the Bengalis. Like his Lord Chaitanya, right? The devotees went to Bengal, from Bengal. Then there was a specific devotee. His service was giving the devotees from Bengal rice, right? And so then it was all kind of like worked out, and everyone was peaceful. And so any other questions? You know, hand goes up. Says, so for lunch today, will there be rice? So he should have read Kano.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, just to make sure. That that's the thing. See, you, yeah, okay.
Prayojana is attained or not.
Yes. But, yes. Okay. Sridhar Swami explains that the Lord visiting Brahma's abode refers to the son of Vikunta, named Vaikunta, returning to his abode, Vaikunta, which is above Brahma Loka, footnote 2. Vaikunta, the Manvantara avatar, appeared in Raivata Manvantar. Subra was the father, and Vikunta was his mother. Okay. Vaikunta was born along with his brothers called Vaikuntas. Okay, so means if his mother is Vikunta, that means then they as sons would be Vaikunta. He created an all-pervading, indestructible Mahavaikunta planet above Satyaloka, referred from Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 4, text 10 through 13.
Sorry. It's really mystical. Yesterday I just read this.
In Lagu
Bhagavatamrita. That portion, and devotees immediately jumped up, and they started, you know, asking me a question whether this is Dhruva Loka. Is it?
Yes.
I said, but I wasn't like, I just mumbled it. It's like, yeah.
No, that's Dhruva Loka. That's the one that's known as the Vaikunta planet. But I think because it's Dhruva Loka, and it's known as Dhruva Loka, and Dhruva runs the planet and that, then I think there was some pastime. We read at least the verse before, where then Lakshmi wanted a planet that was a spiritual planet that wasn't Dhruva Loka, where I guess she could hang out with Vishnu, you know, where they could perform their pastimes that wouldn't have that formality and all the things, and you know, of Dhruva Loka. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because she's already doing there. You know, all the demigods come; it has its own thing like this. So it was.
That's why there's a description later on that the four Chaturvyuha has like four forms. Similarly, in the material world, there are four abodes of the god.
Oh.
This Dhruva Loka is one. I think this is a planet of Aniruddha, it is considered.
Yes, this is there. Svetadvipa. Yes. Yes.
And then there are two, one in the, that, what is that? Just when you go to the Loka side.
Mm. Okay, on the eastern. And then
one is in the ocean, and another one somewhere else.
Yeah, well, because you have him on the Dhruva Loka, Dhrudaksha, you have Prajumna down at the bottom, and then you must have the other two. Yeah. Okay.
So one place only him and Lakshmi, nobody can go there.
Okay, so that's
maybe. Okay.
Because it's also mentioned that Vaikuntha created that place, but I guess it's just manifested, because it's
an eternal.
It's always there. It just manifests within the material universe.
Yes, it's just like the prakat and aprakat.
Yeah,
it's always there. So it's just a matter of then you can appreciate it.
Yeah,
and then manifested in the sense then the demigods could approach you there.
Okay. Yeah. So they could, otherwise it was there, but they couldn't approach. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so now you know it's now in class.
Now, I come ready. I got my weapons. Otherwise, they caught me on guard. And I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, and it's always so ferocious, you know. It's like a, you know, it's just like, you know, look, everybody jumps in, you know. So, so now it's like when you see, like in the court, when there's there, and then you have the thing and somebody's coming in and saying something, and then somebody's making some other statement that's not, you know, maybe contrary to that, and it mentions like, you know, Bhishma or this one stood up, you know, or Arjuna or that, and it says, you know, they had their hand on their sword. It always mentions when they're replying to a you know, like a something where someone doesn't agree with you. It always mentions that they said, the opposite. They always had the hand on the sword. You know, standing and, you know, doing the attitude. So now you can do that. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.